Happy Resurrection Day. Yes, he's alive, y'all. If Mary was from the South, that's what she would say. He's alive, y'all. He is. He's alive. He is alive. Man, if you missed Good Friday, our Good Friday experience, I am so sorry for you. Really. Talk to someone who was here. It was so profound. It might have been one of my favorite services in all of my years pastoring here. Almost 17 years. There's some personal reasons for that, but it was just really spiritually profound as well. And so I've already had three people say, please, can we do this again next year? Because I have ideas already for next year. I want to do this. And I'm like, okay, let's take one day at a time. But it was very experiential and very meaningful. And I think my favorite part of it is that we had different stations, and we had people presenting at each station from the age of 3 all the way up until their 60-ish range. 70s, okay. So I love that intergenerational thing that we have, that God has always given us at Oak River. We have an intergenerational blessing here. And I step into it, and I'm thankful for it. So, whoo, thank you, Lord, for that. This year, we are focusing on what it means to live in awe of God, to live in awe of Him. And so for April, because this is the first Sunday of the month, we change themes every month usually, we're going to talk about the after effect of Jesus' death and resurrection. What does it all mean? Why does it matter? What impact did it have? And as we look into that, I believe that we are all going to be in awe of Jesus and what he has done and why it does matter. We're going to start in Matthew 28, and you can't count on the screens today. So open your Bibles or your phone Bible app, one or the other, to Matthew 28. It's nice to have a Bible today, isn't it? And we don't have internet either, so you have to, you know, pull from your own data on your phone if you're using a phone. Matthew 28, and I'm reading from the ESV today, the English Standard Version, and we're just going to start, because this is where the resurrection really begins. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, I'm going to pause there, because if you don't think there's humor in the Bible, reread that verse. This giant angel came down, and his entrance was so powerful that it caused an earthquake, and he came and rolled away the stone. I don't think he grunted while he was doing it. I think it was like, you know. But then my favorite part is that he sat down on the stone. Like, what? He didn't stand there like a guard, you know, like, I am all that. No, he just like, I think I'll have a seat here. I love that so much. I really enjoy humor in the Bible, because sometimes we get too, I don't know, serious or something. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guy sitting on top of the stone, for fear of him, the guards who were posted there to make sure nobody came and stole the body of Jesus, the guards who would be executed if they were found sleeping on their job. Keep all that in mind. The guards trembled and became like dead men. Verse 5. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. So the big strapping muscular guards who were trained in combat fell as if they were dead because they were so terrified of an angel. Not of Jesus, an angel. And the Mary, okay, what is that? Is it raining? Like, I don't know what that is. Okay, that's all right. It's all, maybe it's an angel showing up. But the angel said to the women, they must not have been like dead, is my point. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you. That phrase doesn't really mean, do you see? It means, remember what I'm saying. Remember what I'm telling you. Behold, I have reminded you. Verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And behold, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. And they will see me. The title of my message today is From Grief and Fear to Joy and Awe. From grief and fear to joy and awe. Listen, if you really miss the notes up there, you could take the back of one of the song sheets and make your own notes if you wanted to. Just saying. No pressure, but if that's important to you, do it. From grief and fear to joy and awe, because that's the after effect of Jesus being raised from the dead. The first point is, when we look for Jesus, we can expect some earthquakes. Mary and Mary came to the tomb looking for Jesus, and what happened? An earthquake happened. That's what happened. Now, I should have known better than to have that as my first point for Easter Sunday, because when I got here this morning, there were some earthquakes happening. The children's room has no lighting at all in it, but it has power, but no lighting. Some of the heat's not working in part of the building. That we have, the TVs aren't working. The internet's not working. A lot that we usually depend on is not working. But the thing is, when we start pressing in to get closer to Jesus, we can expect some earthquakes in our lives. That is just what happens. It's not a sign that you shouldn't be looking. It's actually a confirmation that you're going in the right direction. There is no doubt in my mind about it. I have had too many experiences in my life where I was like, you know what? I want to consecrate myself more fully to Jesus. And almost the moment I make that decision, there's an earthquake. Not literally, figuratively. Because when you press in closer to Jesus, some things that you've always held on to your whole life might start shaking. Old belief systems, new fears. What if this is all just a blah? What if it's nothing? What if I'm falling? What if I'm being a big sucker right now? I'm falling for something that's not even real. Starts shaking, right? Oh, when that happens, go closer. Don't go further away. Go closer. Point number two, when we learn about the resurrected Jesus, we get to spread the news with awe and joy. When we learn about the resurrected Jesus, we get to spread the news with awe and joy. If you didn't get that point and you're writing it down, raise your hand. I got you. When we learn about the resurrected Jesus, we get to spread the news with awe and joy. Because in the verse it says, they departed quickly. They didn't stand around going, say what? this can't be real. We saw Jesus get crucified. We saw that he was unrecognizable because he was so beat up. We saw him take his last breath and say, it is finished. No, they didn't do that. They didn't try to analyze it to death. Anybody get paralyzed by analyzing besides me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. They didn't do that. Instead, they were like, bye, we're out of here. We're going to go do what we've been told to do. And they did it with joy and awe. Man, I love that about them. But you know what? The kindness of Jesus shows up in this passage to me. Because they were running to tell the good news and they already had joy and awe. But Jesus goes, yeah, I think I'm just going to bump into them on the way. You know, they already believed it to be true. Jesus didn't have to prove himself to them. They were already fully convinced, or they wouldn't have been running quickly. They were ready to obey without seeing with their own eyes. But Jesus was like, hi, ladies, friends, I don't know what he called them. Girls, I don't know what he called them. Maybe just Mary and Mary, I don't know. Two of the many Marys that follow me. And then they took hold of his feet and worshiped. When you and I encounter Jesus as he really is, that's what we do. We just fall at his feet and we worship. Worship is an overflow of awe in who he is and what he's done. That's what it is. It's not just music, although I love music. You know I love music. But that's not all that it is. It's more than that. It's an overflow of awe. I woke up Saturday morning so weepy in a good way of what God had done on Good Friday. I just could not stop thanking God. I could not stop thanking him for all that he's doing and has done. So later that night, we're going to move over to Luke chapter 24 now. Luke chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 36. Luke 24, 36. I love the sound of those pages turning. That makes me happy for some reason. Although I'm using my iPad, so no judgment for anybody who's not using pages. It's all good. Verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. Now let me back up, because it was later that night. But what you need to know is that John points out in this account right here that the disciples were so afraid of the soldiers, of the whatever, the powers that be, that they were hiding in a locked room. And that's when this happens. And they're talking about the two guys from Emmaus who said, hey, we saw Jesus, he's alive. They were talking about these things. Verse 36, Jesus himself stood among them. We don't know if he walked through the wall or if he just materialized, like, beam me up, Scotty. We don't know. But we just know one minute he wasn't there and the next minute he was behind locked doors. That's what we know. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit, or in other words, ghost. That's what they thought. They were like, whoa, what is happening right now? Verse 38, and he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet? That is, it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Oh, I can't get over the fact that he still had scars. He's in his resurrected body. That means he chose to keep his scars. Why? I don't think it was just to prove to the disciples. I think it was more than that. I think it was to remind me that even though I go through stuff that leaves scars on me, that I can still have scars and be risen. I can be bigger than my scars. I don't have to have my identity based on my scars. They're just evidence of how God is so good, how powerful he is. Verse 41, more humor, look for it. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, hey, you got anything to eat? That cracks me up. I mean, they're scared out of their wits from the soldiers, and now Jesus is here and they don't get it. And he's like, listen, see, I have, come and touch my hands and my feet. It's all good, guys. I'm here. By the way, yeah, I'm hungry. Got anything to eat? What? I can just see them slack-jawed. Like, can't you just see that? I can totally see it. I love that Jesus' first words, though, when they're jumping out of their skin, his first words are, peace to you. There are times in my life, I don't know about you, but when something happens that was unexpected that I didn't know was happening, and the only thing I need to hear is Jesus saying, peace to you. Peace, be still. It's going to be all right. When it says they were startled, that means terrified. Startled seems such a nice word. No, they were terrified. Frightening means trembling or shaking in fear. And Jesus gave peace. Point number three. I have five altogether if you're trying to gauge your space. Number three, when we encounter the resurrected Jesus, there is space for confusion and doubts. I love that so much because verse 38 says, he's talking to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Did he say then, get out of here. If you don't believe me, bye-bye. No, he didn't say that. He said, come closer. Sadly, I believe too much in the church world. When I mean church world, I don't mean just our little church. I mean the church, capital C, across the world, the church. There's no room for confusion and doubts. And we make people feel like they're this big if they have any. And we don't give space for them. We think, oh, there's something wrong with you. If you just believe, just believe, just believe, just believe. Jesus didn't say, get over there away from me until you can believe. He said, come closer and see my scars and even touch them. The word see my hands and feet actually means know my hands and feet. I think he was saying to them, listen, guys, you've walked with me 24/7 for 3 years. You know what my hands look like. Come and see, these are definitely my hands. Not only because of the scars, well, the scars were probably here actually. Not only because of the scars, because I think they knew every line of his hands. They had seen him lay those hands on broken people, on demon-possessed people. They knew what his hands looked like. So he said, come closer. So if you're having doubts and confusion today, I invite you to come closer. Not step further away. Come closer to Jesus. Come closer to someone you trust who speaks truth into your life. But even after seeing and touching, they still had some disbelief. But this time it was accompanied by joy and awe. I love that. I love that. But then, like I said, the humor of Jesus going, hey, you got anything to eat around here? Like, it was like the final, in my mind, the final and lighthearted way that Jesus wanted to say, I'm a human. I'm just the same. I just have a resurrected body, but I still eat. He didn't have to eat, I'm sure. He wanted to eat. I don't even know if he was hungry. I think he was just trying to show them. I'm still the same dude. Still the same one. Verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Well, that sounds good. And he took it and ate it before them. again. Can you just imagine for a moment all the disciples standing around watching him eat a piece of fish? That had to be hilarious. I want to see that in The Chosen when it comes out. I really want to see that. Like, because he's just munching down on some fish, and they're like, you know, they had to be. They had to be. I don't know why we make everything so other or otherworldly that we forget it was also natural. It is supernatural, but it's also natural. Verse 44, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. That word witness is the root word for martyr in the original Greek. That means this truth is going to be so cemented in the fabric of your body and your mind and your heart that you're going to be willing to die for it. And they did. You are witnesses of these things. Point number 4. When we encounter the resurrected Jesus, he opens our minds to understand scripture. When we encounter the resurrected Jesus, he opens our minds to understand scripture. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you in this room have tried so hard to read the Bible because you're told you're supposed to read the Bible, and you go to read it and it's like, what? I don't get it. If that happens, first of all, don't accept the guilt and shame that's going to try to come your way. It's not because you're a less than Christian. It's not that. It's that you need more time with Jesus, because he will open your mind to understand what you read. He will. He's done it for me so many times. And you might need to read less at a time. Maybe instead of reading a whole chapter, read 3 verses at a time. Now, don't take it all out of context and try to make it say something it doesn't say, but break it down into bite-sized pieces and then ask him to reveal to you what it means. And he may in that moment, or he may 3 weeks later when you're doing a project at home and then you go, oh, I think I understand what that means now, all of a sudden. That's the way it works. He opens your mind to understand scriptures. Point number 5. Look at that. Point 5. When we encounter the resurrected Jesus, so those are the same words from point 4 if you notice, there is repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I find it intriguing that Jesus didn't say at this point, there's no such thing as sin anymore, y'all. You're good. You're good. That's not what he said. He said, there is repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What is repentance? It's simple. It's not necessarily going and standing in a box and confessing, although confession is good. I'm not against that. Repentance is changing your mind and going the opposite direction. That's all it means. So if I'm going down the road and I realize, oh, I'm going the wrong way. I was going here and I thought I was going here. I make a U-turn. Have you ever had your maps app say, make a U-turn? I'm like, oh, okay. And then you make a U-turn and you go the opposite direction. That's what repentance is. It's coming into agreement with what God says about you and about your life. Whereas before you've tried to run everything your way, now you are instead letting him run things his way. And listen, we're all on a curve here. We all have to figure it out day by day, moment by moment. I've been a believer a long time, and I'm still figuring it out. Sometimes I go, whoop, Sandy, that thinking that you just had, not right. And when I'm reading my Bible every morning, I say, God, if there's anything that I'm not understanding correctly, if there's a lie that I'm believing, I beg you to expose it. I want you to expose it in my life and transform my thinking to look more like your thinking. That's what repentance is. I repent every day. I want my thinking to look like his more than any. We've turned repentance into some ugly word, and it's a beautiful word. It's a new beginning. That's what it is. It's a new beginning. It's recognizing I don't do very well being my own boss. Do you know what the word sin means? Some of you do because you've heard me say it about 5,000 times. It means missing the mark. Yes. Now, if you can sit here today and say, I have never missed the mark. Sorry, you just did. You're a liar. If you really don't know how you missed a mark, here's the thing for you to do. Talk to the 5 closest people in your life. Uh-oh. And say, have I ever missed the mark with you? Honey, you're gonna know. You're going to be repenting all over the place. You're going to be like, oh, I need a Savior too. You know, the most offensive thing about the cross, the most offensive thing is not his suffering, although it should be. It is the fact that I needed it. That is offensive because you have to come in low. You can't come in high and go, well, I know that person sitting in the jail cell needed it. I need it because I missed the mark. Now, sometimes I'm closer than other times. Sometimes I'm off the board. But other times I'm like, so close. But what do they say? Close only counts in hand grenades and what? Horseshoes. Yeah, it doesn't count any other time. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. There is a place to go when we miss the mark. Verse 52 and 53. And they worshiped him. There it is again. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Fear and grief, or grief and fear, has become awe and joy. That's the after effect of Jesus' death and resurrection, which leads to worship, because we're back in awe. We're back in awe of him. I had an unbeliever ask me one time, you know, I don't really get why you people, Christians, you people wear crosses, pretty crosses on necklaces. I don't get that. He goes, that would be like somebody putting an electric chair on a necklace and wearing that. Would you ever do that? I go, no, but no one I ever know has ever risen from the grave after an electric chair. Never. So why do I wear it? I wear it and I look at it during worship because it reminds me of two things. The seriousness of my missing the mark, how much pain it brings into my life and the lives of others. But even more than that, the depth of love that God had, that Jesus was willing to take those stripes on his back so that I could be made whole. That Jesus was willing to bring us back into relationship with him. And so he said, I'll die. I'll give up my life and be the sacrifice so that you don't have to. You can be reconnected. That's why I told you several times. That's why the temple veil being torn from top to bottom is such a big deal. Because that curtain was the thing that kept people away from the closest parts of Jesus' presence, of God's presence. Only the priest could go in once a year, and he had to have bells tied around his ankle so that if he died because he was unholy in some way, they would drag his body out from behind the curtain. And now the curtain supernaturally is ripped. It was very thick. If you do the research, it's really unbelievable. It was ripped from top to bottom. It was God saying, there are no more barriers. You can come into my presence anytime you want. Anytime you want. If you're here today and you've begun looking for Jesus, but you're experiencing some earthquakes, move closer. Move closer. In fact, I would let the earthquakes be an encouragement. Like, yes, I've got earthquakes going on in my life. I must be doing something right. If you're here today and you believe in Jesus, but you are dealing with some confusion and doubt, come closer. Come closer. You won't find any perfect people here at Oak River, but you're going to find people who are in love with Jesus and know how to love you well, even with your confusion and doubt. If you're here today and you need understanding on the scripture, come closer. Come closer and ask Jesus to help you understand it and get a version that's easy to understand too. I like the New Living Translation real well for that, or the Easy to Read Bible. I mean, there's so many easy to read version it's called. There's a lot of good versions that are easy to understand, but you still need the Spirit to open up your mind. You still need it. And if you're here today and you want to repent for the forgiveness of sins, there is space for that too. There is space for that. If any of those apply to any of you, I'm asking you to stand because I want to pray for you. Any of those things that I just said, you're having some earthquakes from getting closer. You have some confusion and doubt. You're having trouble understanding scripture. Or you want to repent for the forgiveness of sins. Anybody standing up? Okay, over here, over here. Yep. Anybody else? Yes. Welcome back, Jan. Okay, let's pray. Yeah, they're coming up. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you. Oh, I thank you for the work you did on the cross so that you can show us the depth of your love for us. And God, I pray for those who are having earthquakes and they're struggling with thinking it's because they're doing something wrong. They're not. They're doing something right. So I pray that you would speak peace into them, just like the angel did with Mary and Mary. They said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That they would come closer to you. I pray for those who are having confusion and doubt that you will speak your peace over that confusion and doubt, that they will want to come closer to you and really understand you more. God, I pray for anyone in the room who's struggling with understanding your word. I pray for them that you would put a favor on them. God, not so they can get puffed up and full of themselves, but so that they can know how to love you better and love each other better. Give us understanding on your scripture, I pray. And if there's anyone in the room believing a lie about you, I pray that in your kindness, you would expose it. Lay it bare so that we can come clean with you and then bring your truth into that space instead of the lie. Help us, Lord. And if there's anyone in the room who needs to make a U-turn, God, give them the courage to do it in small increments. It doesn't have to be... It doesn't have to be this giant thing that they would every moment of every day say, God, what do you have? What is your way in this moment? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to think? How do you want me to speak? That we would all come into alignment with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to have family communion now, and I would like to ask the ushers to begin serving. And all are welcome to participate. You don't have to be a member of Oak River. We don't do that here. If you want to take it, take it. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. No judgment either way. But if you would just, they'll pass it out. And if you would just hold the elements until everybody is served, then we'll take it together, okay? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. My prayer for the last few weeks, especially, that I've been kind of zeroing in on. I don't know why God does that with me. I'll find myself praying kind of the same prayer a lot for a season. My prayer for Oak River has been, God, send hungry people. Because we don't have the fanciest programs. We don't have a lot of that. We don't have this ginormous youth group, but the kids we have are on fire for Jesus. We don't have special effects lighting. Today we didn't even have screens. But you know what? If I owned a restaurant, I would pray that hungry people come. Because when you're hungry, you don't care so much about the ambiance. What you care about is the food fresh and is it good? And we do our best at Oak River to bring fresh food, good food. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. So if you're hungry, thanks for coming. You will get filled here. Not because of us, because Jesus is in the place. And he loves to fill hungry people. He loves to fill hungry people. I love that Jesus took such a simple thing like a piece of bread or a cracker. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you and for me." And then he said, "Every time you eat this, remember the sacrifice I made so that we could be reconnected." Those are my own words, Sandy's translation. But that's what it means. Every time you take it, you remember, I took stripes on my back so that you could be whole, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You could be whole, healed. So Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us. And we remember, we do what you've asked us to do. We remember what you did. And we lay claim to the gift that you offer us, wholeness. Wholeness in our bodies, wholeness in our spirits, wholeness in our minds, wholeness in our emotions. And we say thank you. Let's take the bread together. When I look at the juice, of course, I think about the blood that was spilled. for us. I pointed out on Friday that I've never considered until this week that when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, the blood was so sacred it was collected in a bowl to be applied to the door frames. Jesus' blood was splattered all over the dirt, all over the soldiers, down on the road where he had to walk, beneath the cross, on the cross. It wasn't held as sacred, but it was the most precious substance ever to touch man. So I remember when I look at this and I go, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding every ounce of your blood so that we could be joined again in the family. In the family that you created us to be part of. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and other believers, we thank you. We remember, and we agree to your terms that you do all of it. All we do is say yes. So we say yes. Let's take the juice together. Amen. I was going to have a screen up here to show you ways to give at Oak River, but you'll figure it out. There's a box there that tells you there is a QR code on each of the boxes. There's one back there, one over here. It's not hard if you want to give. This week at ORC, we have Wednesday night Bible study. Roger, do you have a mic yet? Oh, here it is. Never mind. I didn't see it. It was camouflaged. Okay. I asked Roger to come up and pray over the Castle ladies and girls who were going on Friday. We have how many? 21 ladies and girls going to the Castle retreat in Pennsylvania. So I asked him to pray over that and then give us an announcement. Yeah, there you go.
You're done. I actually forgot that you were going to ask me this because I've had a lot of things. I've had distractions this morning. So, yeah. But Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity for every person going to the Castle Conference next week. It's really awesome that they get to partner with another ministry it's a different state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a different state. So we're like international now. No, I'm kidding. We're not international. But we thank you so much that they get to do that, Lord, and that we have such a great core group of women who are going. And not only do we bless them and their travels, Lord, and the things that they're doing and the teaching that Sandy's going to give and the worship that Meg is going to lead, but we also pray for everybody who's still going to be here, Lord, who's going to be holding down the fort, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that there would be a continuation of hungry people coming to our doors to come and experience you with us. And we just thank you for the opportunities that you give us every single day to serve you, to worship you, to share you with other people. And thank you for Sunday.
Amen.
Amen.
And your announcement?
Oh, yeah.
Experience life?
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I got
spot.
You.
No, you do. So there's an opportunity. So if you're in the lobby and you see the three phrases on the wall, right? There's one that's called Experience Life, and what we have is we have an opportunity here for anybody who's able-bodied or basically there's a family in the church that is moving house. They're trying to sell their house and they need some help with some renovations. And so what we're trying to do is assemble a bit of a work group, which we've done here before when we've worked on this building.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to try to assemble a work group to help them out with some general laboring tasks, basically. So there will be an email going out. I'm going to share that information with Stephanie and she'll send an email out about it. But it's the Craig family. You guys want to wave your hands over there? Yeah, we just want to assemble some people to get together to pitch in and give them a hand. It's going to be, what was it, April 25th? Is that the date? Yes. April 25th, so Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's not like an all-day thing. If you can give them a couple of hours of your time, we'll slot you in somewhere. If you can bring some tools, bring some gloves, you know, bring some encouragement even. If you swing by and you just like yell, like, hey, good job, guys, and just keep on driving, that's fine too. But obviously it'd be great if you could stop and pitch in. That'd be great.
Yep.
So thank you.
Okay, thanks, Raj. Next week, Ron will continue the After Effect series with a message he's calling From Doubt to Declaration. So that's going to be good. It's going to be a great follow-up to today because we talked a little bit about it's safe to have doubts, but he's going to tell you what to do with them, right? So that's good. Feel free to hang out and visit if you don't have to rush out. We have chats and coffee and bagels. And today, Taya brought some sourdough cookies for y'all as a happy Easter. And to balance it out, I brought cheese sticks. So you need protein with sweets. You need protein with sweets, right? So if you want to have a protein and then have a sweet, enjoy it. Thanks, Taya, for bringing those. Appreciate it. And y'all have a happy, happy, happy day and week.